This is Suzanne Ito for ACLU.org. June 23rd marks the 35th anniversary of Title IX, a law enacted in 1972 to end sex discrimination in education. While most famous for its requirement that schools provide girls with equal athletic opportunities, Title IX applies to all school programs that receive federal funding. The law benefits both male and female students, and is the cornerstone of 35 years of advocacy to promote and establish gender equity in schools. Sarah Dunn is the legal director at the ACLU of Washington. As a civil rights attorney at the Department of Justice, Dunn handled numerous cases involving school desegregation, gender equity in athletics, and sexual and racial harassment. Sarah spoke with us recently about the significance of Title IX to school children everywhere and what still needs to be done to end sex discrimination in education. What have you found is school-aged girls' knowledge of Title IX? What should they know about how Title IX affects them?
I have actually found that school-age girls do not have as much knowledge as they should about Title IX and the protections that it affords girls. Many school-age girls don't realize that there's a federal law out there that guarantees them equal access to educational opportunities. And whether that means they may be free from sexual harassment while attending school, or that they have an equal opportunity to participate in school athletic programs and should be treated the same as their male counterparts. Or, for example, a girl who wanted to take a vocational class in graphic design or take auto shop. Title IX protects her and allows her the same opportunity and access to those classes as boys.
When you were an attorney with the Justice Department, you successfully encouraged the DOJ to bring its first Title IX cases. Why did you think this was important?
Prior to this, DOJ had never done any Title IX athletics work, and so although the statute had been around for over 25 years, there were tens of thousands of girls still being denied the opportunity to participate in school athletics and also being treated differently than their male counterparts when they were participating. So, for example, they weren't getting to use comparable facilities, receive the same coaching or uniforms. Girls were playing on school nights, while boys were playing on what we would refer to as prime time or Friday or Saturday nights. And why this is important that we were doing this work at DOJ, we don't want girls to receive the message that they're second-class citizens. This harms their overall sense of self and how they carry forth into the work world.
What was your favorite Title IX case?
I suppose I would say the Hoffman in United States versus the South Dakota High School Athletic Association. This was the first gender equity athletics case authorized by the U.S. Department of Justice and then Attorney General Janet Reno for the United States to participate as an actual plaintiff party. The case involved the scheduling of two of the most popular girls' sports in South Dakota. It affected every public and private middle school and high school in the state, so we were seeking broad injunctive relief. The case had arisen because girls' basketball, previously in the early 70s, girls weren't playing organized sports in the state, and they decided to add girls' basketball, and because the boys were already playing in the winter, they added the girls' basketball in the fall. And then when they added girls' volleyball in the early 80s, girls were already playing basketball in the gyms in the fall, so they simply put the girls' volleyball teams in the winter. So in essence, the girls' sports teams were fitted in around the boys' existing schedules. These were the two most popular girls' sports by participation numbers across the entire state. And by playing in the wrong seasons, the girls were forced to miss special club opportunities. There was no interstate competition for border towns because, of course, the other states surrounding them were playing, the girls were playing the sports in the traditional seasons. The girls missed out on recruiting opportunities, the ability to participate in nationwide tournaments. So I guess it was a special case because, in essence, there was a large number of girls impacted across the state, and we were able to make significant change, which was a wonderful outcome for these girls.
There have been many important advances for women and girls in education and athletics since Title IX became law in 1972. What remains to be done?
While we have continued, I think, to make great strides in affording women and girls equal opportunity in education since Title IX was passed in 1972, more women enter college these days. Graduate schools for medicine and law have seen a tremendous increase in the number of women attending and enrolling. Women and girls still face discrimination and harassment in the educational setting. According to a study done by the Department of Justice in the year 2000, 75% of future jobs will require computers. But we know that less than 33% of participants in computer courses are girls. Turning to other components of Title IX, one of which is high school athletics and college athletics, the Women's Sports Foundation reports that as of the 2005-2006 school year, high school girls still receive 1.3 million less participation opportunities than boys. So I think while we have made many strides over the last 35 years in advancing equal educational opportunities, there's still much to be done with respect to enforcing Title IX.
How is the ACLU continuing to advance this work?
The ACLU is continuing to advance this work both at the national level through its cases and filing friend of the court briefs in various federal courts across the country. And also the ACLU state affiliates are continuing the work at the state level. So, for example, the ACLU of Washington publishes a Know Your Rights Guide for students, which covers sexual harassment, single-sex classes, pregnancy. And then we are also in the process this summer of creating a separate guide specifically focused on Know Your Rights for gender equity in athletics for K-12 and university students. And when it's appropriate at the state level, we do file litigation to enforce Title IX and other state anti-discrimination laws if we can't resolve the issue with the school to our client's satisfaction. So there's kind of, a small sampling of the work that the ACLU continues to do both nationally and at the state level in maintaining and helping enforce Title IX.
Thanks for listening to this ACLU podcast. To learn more about Title IX, go to aclu.org/womensrights.